get it started in here.
I used to listen to other morning shows, baby, but there was something missing. They were old, they were dull and boring, maybe I just couldn't listen. Then I found the best show around, Justice Drew and Samantha got my morning attention. And I'm gonna listen to Justice and Drew, it's the only show I listen to. I won't miss a beat.
Yes!
I'm just gonna keep it on Justice and Drew.
Dilly dally.
Then I look at you.
Dilly dilly.
And you dig it.
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
Wow!
Yes!
Would you look at
just
that?
One look at you. And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Yes!
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to another week of Justice and Drew. Your Monday edition is underway. I am Drew, that man over there who cannot keep his eyes off the downhill luge. Is John Justice?
I didn't watch any luge over the weekend. I watched a bit of curling.
Did you?
I like me some curling.
I didn't watch any Olympics this weekend.
I watched some curling. I watched some luge.
I watched some fail videos of figure skaters. Those were pretty interesting.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the guys jumping on skis.
They've got kind of an X Games.
Those are fun.
Thing going on now. They've taken some X Games.
They doing flips?
Yeah, they're doing like the snowboarding on the with the slope.
Snowboarding
on ice
and the snow and the boards.
The snowboarding's been there for a few years, but they kind of adopted that appropriated.
The X, how dare
try to bring in the youngins, which apparently isn't working because Sam's not watching.
No,
that's the great thing about the Olympics, though, is that like it's always on. So if you happen to be channel surfing, haven't cut the cord, I wonder, you know, who's doing what in the Olympics.
I wonder what random sport I've never heard of that I can watch now.
Yeah, they do a decent job too of giving you little profiles. You know, like when you watch American Idol and they give you the profile of the people and you realize how dumb they are for pinning all their hopes and dreams on this ridiculous show. They do that well with the Olympics too, to kind of get you immediately engaged. So I watched a little bit. Yeah,
the Olympic coverage is always really good. I just didn't tune into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's on everywhere. You can't escape it. We were out at the Groveland Tap for the beer cast on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. They had a stout breakfast event, which was phenomenal. And it was on all the TVs and it was kind of fun because, you know, we'd be sitting there eating breakfast and enjoying our stouts. And then the entire restaurant would go, whoa! Something happened.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you had done something amazing and they were responding. By the way, a little pushback on what you said, Sam. The coverage is great unless you're watching CNN. And the coverage is awful.
Well, that's just a given. Let's be real.
They really love them some dictators.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on in the hour. But, it's all contrast. That's all that it is. And again, we'll talk about it. But there was a lot of fawning going on of Kim Jong-un's sister. And
yeah, so I did see that.
Thankfully, a lot of people were like, hold the phone here, people. Yeah.
Would even BuzzFeed is kind of calling you out on your coverage?
Right.
You know you've taken a bit of a wrong turn.
She was just sitting there.
I know.
There was like no activity. It's just a person sitting there, and they're just, she's like, you know, she's just so wonderful, and, you know, just bringing everybody together. It's like, what are you talking about?
She's not doing anything.
No.
She's just sitting there with a little smile on her face.
Right, right.
Of all the people her family has murdered.
The only reason why it's a big deal is because of the contrast with Pence. That's it.
Watching the games, we'd murder them.
Murder from that country, murder from that country, murder from that country.
Man, it'd be good to murder all these people.
Maybe that's what it is.
That's why she's so smiley. She's like, wow, domination.
You're staring like at a serial killer. And she's just looking around the room feeling so powerful because she knows that she would have no qualms whatsoever just taking everybody out. Well, that escalated quickly. Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, powered by Randy's Electric, will join us just after 7 o'clock this morning. We've got some elections taking place, a lot of commentary about the upcoming elections and the special elections.
They really want it to be a referendum on Trump.
Boy, they do.
They really want it to be. They want everything to be a referendum on Trump.
Tell you what, Trump keeps ticking off conservatives. It might just be. That list is... there's a rather interesting little thing developing now, especially when you look at talks about DACA, certainly the budget spending, and even some local issues when it comes to Trump versus the FBI, where there's this sort of interesting dynamic that I think a lot of staunch Trump supporters are going to have to start doing some soul searching on whether or not this is really what they want. You know, how much bipartisanship are you willing to take before you start going, maybe I want to step off this Trump train for just a moment.
Also, on today's show, we're going to talk to Paul Allen at 8:15.
Yes,
8:15. He's going to join us in studio. I wanted to get his thoughts on the offensive coordinator hire from Philadelphia.
All right.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about the strike. The teacher strike is teetering on the brink. Maybe start tomorrow. So they did not reach any conclusions over the weekend. So we'll talk a bit about that just after 8 o'clock.
There was a piece in the Pioneer Press that we'll get to. What do the teachers want?
Whatever the union says.
It's the shortest piece ever because it's just money.
Yeah. It's the bottom line.
Money.
So Sam, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
You're feeling all right. Yep. Okay. Drew and I are suffering from the same sort of non-existent cold.
Like I've had that for like a month and a half. So
maybe we got it from you then. Because it's just like there.
It's like there, but it's not there enough to make you really do anything about it. Like you
can't
really do anything about it.
She's the one that gave it to us.
Is it in your throat?
A little bit. Yeah. But not enough to even say it's in my throat.
Yeah, mine's been in my throat. Mine hasn't been like anywhere else, really.
It's like if the cold were a little like gnome inside my body, he'd just be kind of like... Just like poking at me.
Like here, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm just here. Just letting you know. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
There were just real quick. There was several different stories today about the flu that's going around. Obviously, we don't have that, but the flu has been like one of the deadliest flus in like decades this year. What's funny though is that several different stories are out saying why are people outside high risk groups dying from the flu? The takeaway from every single one of the stories is the flu. They're dying. Like none of the stories lay out why there's an uptick. They just explain like the reasons why they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's no rational. Like all the stories make it seem like they have an explanation why this year so many people are getting the flu and dying. But all that the stories end up doing is listing off the reasons how and why people die from the flu.
Yeah, it can lead to pneumonia.
Right.
It can lead to
sepsis,
infections,
heart attack.
Sepsis, heart attack.
Yeah. But none of them have any explanation as to why there's an uptick.
Right.
Which I don't like. I wanted to know the reason why. So it's like, why are people outside high risk groups dying from the flu? From the flu, apparently.
Because the flu.
So, yeah. I think the big takeaway from it, though, is you're sick at all. And the one thing in all the stories was like, if you're sick at all with anything close to the flu, stay home.
Right.
For like a number of days so you would stop spreading it around.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, don't try to be a hero. Don't try to come into work if you've got the funk, because you're just going to spread it around.
Sorry.
Yeah, Sam.
Sorry, I wanted to do my job.
Jeez. Why'd you have to come in?
Wow.
Goodness gracious. Wow. Hey, how's the scouring going?
It's going.
We'll bring you the top five stories you need to know to kick off your week next.
This is your...
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, along with Sam, your top five, coming up in just a few minutes.
Being hastily edited due to some breaking news.
I know, right?
I couldn't have broke news like, you know,
thanks, guys.
Earlier.
Thanks for changing up Sam's
got to re-scour
top five.
The Star Tribune over here.
I think they did it intentionally.
I think they did.
A little bit later.
Throw us off our game. It's not going to work, guys.
Yeah.
It's not going
to
work.
You. We got the news.
Later on in the show, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk a bit about, there's been more commentary about Duluth and the banning of To Kill a Mockingbird and Huckleberry Finn because of the racial slurs.
Right.
Yeah, so new information, new commentary on that. Along the same lines, apparently the Minneapolis hate crime hotline has been dogged with complaints not going the way that they had hoped.
God, couldn't have seen that coming.
Right.
Didn't we say
I know.
That's exactly what was going to happen
when they
launched this?
We're very prophetic when it comes to that. And really, that's not something that we should really be proud of.
Jesus, calling yourself prophets?
Yeah, well...
You are a prophet of the news.
Well, the reason is, though, it's because we actually try to be rational about these types of things. And if you look at things rationally, you can easily deduce how certain implementations are going to play out. And this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Plus, we've been covering a lot of stuff like this for a long time. We've seen other areas attempt these sort of things, and they all kind of work out the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an interesting...
Put us in charge.
There's an interesting series of stories, and I don't know if we'll have the chance to dive into it this morning, but they're what we call evergreen, doing that thing with my fingers. But there's a bit of backlash growing, and at least an acknowledgement of... it's tough to say it's a political correct culture, but there's one story out of the New York Post talking about the woke police ruining entertainment. And what it deals with specifically is now, for lack of a better term, political correctness being laid upon movies and TV shows where people are being triggered by things that normally they wouldn't get triggered by.
Yep. And that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is, especially in the era of Trump, there's this expectation that every piece of entertainment is going to make a statement.
Right.
You know, it's so important. And when they don't, people get mad. You know, when an entertainer just decides to sort of be benign and say, I'm just going to entertain.
Right.
I'm just going to go do a halftime show and perform my songs and not try to make any political statement. People get mad at the lack of political statement. Well, you didn't use your halftime show to hashtag resist. Well, you must be part of the Trump brigade.
Hashtag not woke.
Yeah, well, and we mentioned it with Taylor Swift. That was the one that we kind of keep pointing to.
Right.
When people got upset at Taylor Swift for not making any type of political stance.
Silent?
Yeah. There's a subsequent article talking about whether or not here in the United States, here in America, we're actually having second thoughts on free speech, which is really, well, look.
No, God, please, no, no.
These things are very cyclical. We're on the bad side of that. I hope that it ends up swinging back the other direction. I am really, really legitimately fearful for the next generation and the way that they are viewing these particular things like free speech, especially in an era of Trump. I hope that when they get older, it happens like with the rest of us, where we get a little saner, we get a little bit more logical, we get a little bit more rational. But I listen to a ton, especially with pop culture, a ton of podcasts, mm-hmm. and it's clear there is a growing problem across the board when it comes to this new generation, how they are viewing pop culture, how they're viewing culture in general, and how entitled they feel, and how, like you said, they don't like it when people trigger their emotions, and they want things stopped that trigger their emotions, but at the same time, they also get conflicted because when something doesn't, as you said, that also is triggering an emotion too, and they don't like that either.
Yep. Yep. Everything's got to fall into their preconceived box, and when it doesn't, they flip out. They don't know how to react.
Yeah, I fear for the future.
I weep for the future.
I do.
Well, your immediate future is in good hands, though, because Sam has scoured the internet, has updated her top five with some updated stories, and these are the top five stories you need to know to kick off your Monday.
Number one.
Israel is warning over Iran's presence in Syria after some airstrikes. From Yahoo News, Israel issued stark warnings on Sunday over Iran's presence in neighboring Syria after a confrontation threatened to open a new and unpredictable period in the country's seven-year civil war. Israel carried out major air raids in Syria on Saturday, including against what it described as Iranian targets, the first time it had publicly acknowledged doing so since the war began. The raids came after an Israeli F-16 fighter was shot down by Syrian air defenses. The pilot survived, but it was Israel's first loss of a warplane in battle since 1982. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said at the start of Sunday's cabinet meeting, "We inflicted on Saturday a heavy blow to Iranian and Syrian forces. We made clear to everyone that our rules of engagement will not change in any way. We will continue to harm anyone who tries to harm us. This is our policy, and it will remain our policy."
You know, the interesting thing to note about this is that the Yahoo story, and I don't know, and I'm hesitant to go and say that it's biased why they didn't report this, but this whole thing actually started. It started earlier in the weekend. An Iranian drone took off from a Syrian airbase, flew through Jordanian territory, and then infiltrated into Israel. The Israelis shot the drone down and then subsequently went and launched a fighter attack on the base in Syria where the drone was launched from. So the Yahoo News story, like, conveniently ended up, you know, omitted that piece of information. And again, this is one of those circumstances where when an event like this happens in that region, the first question that kind of pops up is this going to be the event that leads to the all-out conflict? So far, it hasn't, but Benjamin Netanyahu appears to not be screwing around, but it is always the concern. When you have a circumstance like this, when you've got stuff being blown from the sky in the region, and Israel doesn't think, because Iran's been penetrating into Syria, Israel doesn't think it's going to stop at anytime soon.
Right.
So it's one of those circumstances where when it gets ratcheted up, how far does it go and does it lead to an all-out conflict?
Other Israeli ministers have spoke of refusing to accept Iran entrenching itself militarily in Syria, as Netanyahu has said repeatedly. While several analysts said they did not expect a further escalation in the coming days, some spoke of the possibility of the Syrian war entering a new phase.
We will we'll give you some more thoughts on this and continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Justice and Truth.
Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Don't forget, you can use the hashtag TCNT. You want to communicate with us at any time. We're constantly monitoring throughout the show. And, of course, Sam will take your calls at 651-989-5855.
We are in the middle of Sam's Top 5 for a Monday.
Number 2.
Surveillance footage captured the moment a Russian plane crashed and killed 71 people. From Fox News, a deadly plane crash in Russia on Sunday that left 71 people dead was captured on surveillance footage, which appeared to show the moment that the Saratov Airlines Flight 703 plunged into a field nearly 25 miles out from the airport, which it had taken off from only moments before. The regional jet disappeared from radar about 12 miles southeast of the airport, and that's according to the flight tracking website Flight Radar 24. A plane can disappear from radar when it gets too close to the ground to reflect radar signals. Transport Minister Maxim Sokolov confirmed that none of the 65 passengers ages 5 to 79 or 6 crew members survived. Mm. It was not immediately clear what caused the plane to crash, but weather conditions and pilot error were said to be among the possible reasons. The crash left chunks of wreckage strewn across the field in outside Moscow. A black box flight recorder from the airlines was found, although it was not immediately clear if it was the data or the voice recorder. Witnesses, according to Sky News, said that they saw a burning plane falling from the sky.
Yeah, that's the part of the whole thing that's really odd. Is one, I had heard in some of the reports that I know they cite in the story that weather could have been a factor, and that, but my understanding was that after the initial crash, most people were saying that it didn't appear that any of the weather could have been enough to where it would have brought it down. And the fact that the eyewitnesses were talking about it falling from the sky on fire is obviously raising a lot of questions as to what actually brought this plane down. So it just... This doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often at all.
And that was my first thing. When something like this does happen, it's a reminder of how safe air travel has become, because these are exceedingly rare incidents like this. It sounds like there was an explosion. You know, people saw the witnesses saw the plane already on fire, already having suffered some sort of catastrophe as it was coming down.
And you have to you can kind of only guess that more than likely we probably won't end up finding out, being that it's Russia. and it's something that in terms of the international community they need to share, I imagine that we're probably not going to get much in the way of finding out here in the States what was actually on those black box recorders.
Number 3.
A former Obama campaign manager said all public pollsters should be shot.
What?
Are you sure about that whole free speech thing, Drew? We talked about that a little bit earlier, about whether or not...
This dude needs
if
to chill.
If we're having second thoughts on free speech, I'm just wondering.
Chill out.
I'm jokes. Yeah. This is jokes.
Big cup of chill for this guy.
Yeah, big cup of chill for Jim Messina from Reuters. Jim Messina, a former campaign manager for Barack Obama, apparently isn't one to mince words. During an appearance Friday on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Messina spoke about the irrelevance of public polls so early in an election year. Then he underscored the point to host Joe Scarborough. He said, "Joe, you know how I feel about public polls. I think all public pollsters should be shot."
It's not funny.
So apparently that's something that they talked about before, because he was like, Joe, you know how I feel.
Well, look, it's clear the guy's trying to be sarcastic, but that's not how you be sarcastic. Yes. You've gone too far now.
You're not doing it right.
The level of public freakout that would, if this had been a Trump campaign manager.
Can you even imagine?
I mean, Trump made that stupid joke about treason last week, right? They didn't clap for my State of Union. Can we call that treason? It's clearly just joking.
Right.
But even still, it's like, Mr. Trump, let me read you the definition of treason. And this is not, that wasn't funny at all. It's like everybody just freaked out at a stupid little joke.
Merriam-Webster says.
Messina said there were other more important yardsticks at this point to determine a candidate's viability. He said, "What you care more about is passion and intensity. When I ran President Obama's campaign, the number I looked at every day was intensity."
Did you get that from a public poll? Did that come from some polling data?
What is your intensity on a scale of 1 to 10?
Intensity.
He said, "Are my voters more motivated than Republican voters?" A recent column by Fox News may have revealed the source of Messina's frustration. According to Kearns, new polling shows that Democrats have lost a recent 15-point lead over Republicans, dropping only a 2-point lead heading into the 2018 midterms. I wonder what he would have been saying if they were still at a 15-point lead.
Right. Yeah, and gee, I wonder why that lead is dropped.
Right, yeah. Someone's a little salty.
Just they're irrational is showing on their sleeves, and they're more than inclined to go ahead and be public about it when they have the opportunities, to their own detriment.
He is right to the point that polling data this far away from when people are actually going to walk into a booth and fill out the little circle is kind of irrelevant.
Sure.
You know, I mean, so much of an election hinges on what happens in just the weeks leading up to it and the public mood and the public perception. It all gets decided very close to the election day, and so much of it depends on who the actual candidates are. It's easy to do a poll now saying, "Yeah, I'd probably vote for a Democrat or over a Republican or vice versa."
Right.
But you don't know who the candidates are. You don't know who they're actually going to be. You don't know what type of interactions you're going to have with them, whether they're going to do a good job running their campaign or a poor job. There's so many factors that are yet to be determined.
Well, we've had
but nobody needs to be shot.
We have these two special elections taking place today, and in the story, at the end of it, it talks about how these special elections locally could be sort of a referendum when it comes to sexual harassment and the Me Too movement. And I that hadn't even occurred to me, even though I'm talking about Cornish and Schoen.
Right.
Like, it hadn't even occurred to me. Like, I had to remind myself, oh, that's why we're having the special election. So, like, you wonder how many people even today who go to vote are even going to be putting the two and two together. And you talk about the polling data and what it's based off of. People's minds are very, very short when it comes to retaining even the most recent events.
Yep. And emotions play a big part in how you end up casting your vote.
Yeah.
You know, your emotional reaction or connection to whatever candidates are running.
Number 4.
The strike has been called off as St. Paul teachers and the district have reached a tentative agreement.
Didn't they know we already prepped for the show?
I know, I was all prepped up. You know, I was all ready to go.
It goes like 2 segments in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to cross those off the list. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, wow.
Here's what would have happened had they gone ahead and...
We had a lot of thoughts.
Had a strike. Yeah, you'll never hear them now.
we had thoughts galore on the possibility of a strike.
It's a rarity that actually happens.
Away. Right.
It's very, very rare that it actually happens. This is like when the news broke and I went, gosh darn it, I wasted so much time getting myself brushed up on the St. Paul teacher strike.
It was like 6:10. Oh, new update.
Yeah. Darn it.
From the Pioneer Press, St. Paul Public Schools and the St. Paul Federation of Teachers have reached a tentative agreement on new contracts overnight, averting a strike that was scheduled to start on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. The union representing teachers, educational assistants, school, and community service professionals called off a strike after reaching a deal during a 13-hour bargaining session. And that's according to the Federation, making that announcement shortly after 2 a.m. While specifics of the tentative agreements for each of the three groups, including pay, were not released, the union said that it won support for students, especially English language learners and students needing special education services. Federation President Nick Faber said, "We are proud to have settled a fair contract that will improve our public schools for all of our students. We look forward to continuing the fight for fully funded, racially equitable schools in the weeks and months ahead."
That sounded painful, Drew.
I don't buy that. whatever came out of these negotiations isn't centered on improving public schools for all their students. It's about improving the status quo for the union.
Yeah.
School Superintendent Joe Gothard, who was involved with the mediation sessions over the weekend, said he was relieved and happy to have reached an agreement with the union. He said, "Both the district and the union feel passionately that our students deserve the best education we can give them. This is a strong step in that direction." However, it actually isn't a done deal yet. The two-year deals will be reviewed by the Federation's executive board today. This evening, actually. If the board recommends the agreement, it will hold meetings with its members to review the contracts and schedule votes. Dates for votes have not been set. The school board also has to sign off on the deal. As the final steps in securing final agreements move forward, all strike planning activities, including the operation of the kid spaces and SPFT's safe sites, have been canceled. That's according to the union. They said that it will continue to fight for adequate funding. The union said in a statement, "No, the fight is not over yet. We will continue to fight to fully fund our public schools."
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's all about money. I mean, they're negotiating. It's over, and the dispute is over, and they were going to strike over. What it comes down to is money. They just want more money.
Well, and the biggest question that I had that we would have asked in the 8 o'clock hour.
We still can. Wait, it's not done yet. We want to save our thoughts.
Well, the thing that I wonder is, and there's no way to know unless you're able to individually talk to these teachers and get them to talk off the record, but, you know, how much of this is actually the actual will and desire of the teachers that are striking, and how much of this is coming from the union, and how many of them are pressured to go and get involved in this. And all you have to do is look at the snapshots from the teachers with the union and all their pre-made signs and how organized it is. And there's nothing, again, that's not to say they may not have had legitimate grievances, but I can't help but question, you know, if this actually is the true, you know, will and desire of the teachers that are striking, or if it's a lot of this is pressure from the unions.
Oh, it's pressure from the unions. You know, I've talked to teachers, and yeah, there's a lot of teachers who are sort of in lockstep with the union and have completely bought into the union propaganda, but there's also a lot of teachers out there that would, if they had the opportunity, would like to disassociate themselves from the union and recognize that the union isn't there to serve the best interests of the children.
Right.
It's there to serve the best interests of the union.
Number 5.
A dog looking for kids to read to him has gone viral.
Aww.
From Care 11, a lonely-looking greyhound is getting a whole lot of love from around the country after a viral Facebook post from his owner. Sting and his human, John Mueller, have been participating in the White Bear Lakes Library's Pause to Read program for a few years. The program allows kids ages 5 to 8 to come in and read to a therapy dog. White Bear Lakes Children's Librarian Ann Wallstrom said, "We want it to be a fun, safe environment where kids get to sign up and read to a dog in a really non-threatening, non-judgmental place for kids to really work on their literacy skills. But on Wednesday, when the retired Greyhound racer came in for his session, no one had signed up to read to him."
It's so sad.
I know.
If you want to see, by the way, real quick, if you want to see a picture of the dog, there's a couple of pictures posted up on our page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. He legitimately looks depressed.
So, Mueller, his owner, posted a few photos of the mournful-looking pooch on Facebook. He wrote, "Unfortunately, nobody signed up to read to Sting at the White Bear Lake Library tonight. If you know of a 4 to 8-year-old who would like to read to a dog, please contact the White Bear Lake Library." On Thursday, one of his friends convinced him to make the post public, and the librarian, Ann Wallstrom, she said, "So he took these pictures and put it up, and I was on my way to work Friday morning, and another librarian was like, 'Oh my gosh, have you seen this?' His post was going viral from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. that day." Wallstrom said they were slammed with phone calls from across the country.
I'll read to the doggy.
But did anybody actually show up to read to the dog?
People actually wanted to read to him over the phone if they couldn't get there in person. As of Saturday.
As one morning. Confused dog.
Can I FaceTime with Sting?
As of Saturday afternoon, has posted more than 85,000 shares. The librarian, Anne, as she said, Sting is booked through April. We even added a couple of nights. But that's not all. Wallstrom said several callers have just wanted to check on Sting. She said, we've had people calling, wanting to know that he's okay. We've had multiple calls of people who just want us to hold the phone up to Sting's ear so they can read to him.
The things that people will react to.
I know. Well, it's one of these stories that it reminds me of when, and we've had this not for a long, long time. I don't even think of here, but those circumstances where you'll have somebody in a higher up position in what we do, and they'll be like, "You guys really need to make like a viral video." And it's like, I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand quite how that works. I mean, if you want to say you should put up a lot of content in hopes that something would go viral, mm-hmm. then that's one thing. But you don't know.
We should have kids come read to Sam.
Just post a picture of me looking sad.
Okay. I like the idea, but only if we can charge and we get to keep the money. Because we can make bank.
If you know of any 48-year-olds or 25 to 54-year-olds.
You did say 4 to 8, right? Okay. Because I heard 48.
Sting's
young single man would like to come read to Sam.
I don't know if I like this idea anymore. Sting's owner, he said Sting's forlorn look was actually a bit misinterpreted. He said,
"Yeah, can I just be the guy who'd be like, the dog don't care?
You don't know that.
Can somebody just stand up and be like, the dog does not care and has no clue what's going on
Maybe
here?
He was looking forward to his appointment at the library to see children.
He was looking forward to eating some crunchy food and going out to pee.
His owner said, people who don't know Sting don't know that that's just his normal look. He isn't sad or lonely, but that's just the look he normally has. He's like me, his resting sad face. Like, if I'm not actively smiling, I look depressed.
You all right?
See, I hear that all the time. It's like all day long. I hear that.
Well, and then
me
you
and
get
Sting,
and then you get the it's fine. I'm fine. I don't think you are.
It's fine.
You look sad.
Mjolnir said that he's been getting requests from people in New Zealand, Argentina, and Ireland who want a video chat with him.
Yeah, that's weird.
He's also received around 1,500 Facebook friend requests, none of which he's accepted. Sting doesn't seem to know he's suddenly the center of so much attention.
Yeah, because he's a dog.
Mjolnir said he's pretty blasé about it. Very unflappable. Although Sting is booked up for a couple of months, Ramsey County Libraries have several other therapy dogs for the program, and they're seeing increased interest as well.
Oh, good. I don't want the other dogs left out.
Wallstrom said other library systems also have similar programs. Anyone interested in reading to a dog should contact their local library.
There's other... Why don't you read to people?
Look, I don't.
Why are we reading the dogs? I mean, it's cool. I get the intent behind the program, and it's fun. But why are we reading the dogs?
It's easier to get a dog.
Well,
to read to.
It's easy to get a dog to read to. I mean, and plus with dogs, I actually did a whole paper about this for a class once. So I could go on and on and on. but I mean, studies have shown that little young kids especially are super comfortable reading to dogs. They're non-threatening. They don't get impatient. Whereas like an adult, I mean, it can get distracted, be on their phone, whatever. Whereas a dog will literally just sit there and listen to a kid.
Yeah.
Or at least the kid feels like they're listening.
Yeah.
Listen to them read.
Bella will sit there next to me the whole time when I podcast and talk Star Wars for 45 minutes and just stare at me.
See, she thinks. See, Bella is like, oh, he's sitting down. This is our talking time. Man.
I'm not going to question how well this dog's owner knows Sting, but then that might be Sting's normal look. But I can tell when Bella's depressed. I can tell when my dog is sad.
Yeah.
Usually it's something that I did, but I can tell when she's bummed out.
What are you doing to your dog? I
says, well, no, it's more. It's more the activity that she has to witness me do. I think she's just sad for the owner, right?
You should see my dog's face when I'm playing with a different dog. He will look so sad.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah.
Very jealous.
Excellent top five, Samantha. Well done.
Thank you.
And applications are already pouring in for people that want to come read.
You know what? That's fine.
It's fine.
Come read to me.
All right, coming up, our D.C. correspondent, Andrew Langer, he'll be joining us. We'll talk about this piece from the Washington Examiner, the media's DACA scam isn't working. And we'll get a bit into CNN being slammed for a glowing puff piece about Kim Jong-un's sister at the Olympics. Justin.